knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry if you love films.
Mark, I know that was a little confusing for you because you're not here every day, but I am here every day, and it was really confusing for me.
That was terrifying, but I'm really happy to be here on the stream now. I feel so much more relaxed.
This is the bonus hour, legally the bonus 80 minutes. I mean, if you're going to get technical. We now fold in our friend Dean Richards here to talk about entertainment and movies. Dean, how are you? Can you hear us? Hold on a second.
Dean is somewhere.
Testing 1, 2.
There you are, Dean.
Testing 1, 2.
Hi.
I just want to say how much I've enjoyed this seamless transition.
You hardly even notice it, do you?
Over the air to web. I broke out in a cold sweat for you at one point, knowing what it's like to sit there when
Dean,
somebody goes, you gotta fill 3 minutes.
Right. It's easy.
And not that you can't fill 3 minutes. It's not, you know, it's not that tricky to talk that long.
That was hard.
But when you're not, you know, you're not prepared.
Right.
You think you're switching gears. You know, it took you guys a couple of seconds to, like, shift your gears and start talking about baseball to feel like you get into your comfort zone.
But
enjoyed that tremendously.
That's what men do, is if you're at a loss for words about anything.
Right, sports.
You just talk baseball.
Right.
You just go, is it me or was Brooks Robinson the greatest third baseman of all time?
Right. You know what I like to do when something I have, you know, when something like this happens on my Sunday show?
Yeah.
I like to talk about the Kennedy Center.
Just automatically.
I don't know why. To me, it's a time killer.
Because who could say anything bad? You just say, do you guys remember in 1983 when Glenda Jackson was at the Kennedy Center for
and
the
Kennedy? Nobody does, so you can make up anything. Remember when she got on that trapeze?
Oh. Was that a crowd pleaser?
And dangled from the roof of the Kennedy Center by her teeth. Remember that?
We all remember that, right? Everybody remembers that.
And people want to seem like they're smart, so they just agree with you.
People are crazy.
Yes, I do. Speaking of the Kennedy Center, by the way.
What have you got?
What an ironic transition that they have announced this year's honorees for the Kennedy Center honors.
Oh.
They are.
Yes.
Sally Field.
Yeah. Well-deserved.
Because we love her. We really love her.
We really love her. She was in the... I guess she's being nominated for her work on The Girl with Something Extra. Do you remember that show?
I don't.
All right, so it was Sally Field and the great John Davidson.
Oh, wow.
And she was a woman who had some sort of psychic abilities, the Something Extra.
Hmm.
It was a sitcom that only lasted a year, but I'm guessing the Kennedy Center is just now catching up on those on Netflix.
Catching up. They just got done watching all the Flying Nun episodes.
And Sister Betrayal.
Decided to honor her anyway after working with John Davidson.
Yep.
Linda Ronstadt is going to be honored this year, which I think is very, very nice.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, all three of them are going to be honored this year as well.
Earth and Wind, I could see. Fire's a surprise.
Well, you know, he can be a little hot-tempered.
Yes, he can.
From time to time.
Yes, he is.
We all know.
True.
Conductor Michael Tilson Thomas.
It's about time.
And Sesame Street.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's amazing to me that Sesame Street, Linda Ronstadt, and Sally Field have not already, well, and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Really, it's amazing to me that all of them haven't been.
That's going to be quite a show.
I think it's going to be great. And that's going to be December 8th at the Kennedy Center in Washington. And it's usually, I think it's on, is it on CBS usually?
I think it is on CBS normally.
One of the BSs.
Probably CVS. Or CVS, it's on this year.
Might be.
The Pharmacy Network.
Yeah, it could be.
Can we do a quick detour back to Sally Field?
Absolutely.
And I don't... Can you guys just get me up to date on what it was like when she was dating Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit? I mean, that's like a...
It was a magical time.
That seems magical to me.
Yes. Yes.
Not as magical for me as when Burt Reynolds was dating Dinah Shore.
That was also magical.
That was. Do you even know who Dinah Shore is, Mark?
No, I don't. I feel like I know the name. I feel hold on. I mean, I know the name, but like I would like I'm looking up Sally Field right now. It's like, oh, that was Sally Field from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
So Dinah Shore. These are always.
This is going to be sad when you don't know who Dinah Shore is.
I don't know who Dinah Shore is.
Maybe one of the most popular girl singers ever.
She saw the USA in a Chevrolet.
She did. That was she was the girl singer, spokesperson, I guess you might say, singing the Chevrolet commercial. See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Dean, when I was 13 years old, my family took my brother and I to Las Vegas because there's no more fun city in America when you're 13 than Las Vegas. So we're staying at the MGM Grand.
There's swimming pools.
And yeah, there movie are swimming pools and movie stars. And my brother takes the elevator from our floor, the 17th floor. He's going down to the lobby, I guess, to cash in his chips, I guess. I don't know. And at the 15th floor, Dinah Shore gets on the elevator.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And my brother Adam just points at her as she gets on, doesn't say anything, just points at her, and points at her all the way down, just keeps pointing at her. And then when the doors opened on the lobby floor, my brother said, words I'll never forget, "You're Dinah Shore."
That's huge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't sure until my brother explained to her who exactly she was.
People of that stature must get stuff like that all the time, I would guess. But Dinah Shore, very famous singer.
Dean, the scandal I remember with Dinah and Bert was that Dinah was about 12 or 13 years older than him.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
That was scandalous back then.
Completely scandalous. She had a very, very long-running afternoon talk show.
That was gentle.
That's how I thought, Mark, that you might remember her from when you were little. I guess I have to look up and see what years that talk show was, because I want to say...
In the 70s?
You guys are right about that, as I'm looking here. Hosting two talk shows in the 70s, TV Guide ranked her at number 60 on their list of top 50 television stars of all time, for the record.
She hosted two shows, The Dinah Shore Show and Meet the Press. What a strange choice she was for that job, remember?
She was a multifaceted, multi-talented person.
Bert said that love relationship was the love of his life, was Dinah Shore.
I can believe that.
I guess so.
She was very attractive. She was very nice.
Do you remember what TV star Bert was married to for a little while?
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson for a little while, but prior to that, he was married to somebody from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Judy Carn.
Judy Carn.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
The Sock It to Me Girl.
Mark, any of these names ringing any bells? No? Zero?
Mark
feels like he's hanging out with, visiting his grandfather at the home.
Errol
right
Flynn?
Now.
Big Errol Flynn fan?
I'm going through Bert's history right now. He was married to Judy Carney?
Judy Carn.
Yeah,
from Rona Martin's Laugh-In.
Okay, so they married in 63, divorced in 65. Then
he socked it to her.
Maybe
literally.
Then he had partners, Dinah Shore, from 71 to 75. It's amazing that they have these years really boiled down to when he was partners.
Yes.
And he was partners with Sally Field after that from 76 to 80. And then he got married to Lonnie in 88 and divorced in 94.
That ended ugly.
And he passed away in 2018, Bert.
Yeah, so true.
He's not been married since then.
No, he stopped. He stopped marrying people.
Yep.
I always kind of got... I thought Bert was the coolest guy ever, and then Deliverance, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then what was the... the pornographic film that he was in that wasn't actually... what am I talking about?
I'm blanking on the name, too.
It was about the making of a pornographic film.
Right.
It wasn't Mark actually, Wahlberg.
He wasn't in a pornographic
film. Yeah, what was
right.
that called?
That was... Hold on, I'm pulling it up.
And William H. Macy.
Yes, and it was like, it was just very disturbing.
Such a great movie.
It was such a great movie, exactly. It was one of the greatest movies of all time.
Would you agree, as Mark's looking it up, would you agree with me,
Boogie
Dean?
Boogie Nights,
thank you. For every
Mark is a very quiet Googler,
isn't he? The quietest of the Googlers.
You must have very soft hands.
I was scrolling through Wikipedia to get to the bottom.
So gently, though.
Thank you.
So gently. Would you agree with me about this, Dean? That for every horrible movie that Burt Reynolds made, all those Smokey and the Bandit movies and Stroker Ace and the list goes Paternity, the list goes on and on and on. When he was in a good movie like Deliverance, he was really, really good.
Awesome.
Right?
He was awesome. He was a great, really great actor. But I'm sorry, you can take all of his movie roles together.
Yeah.
And to me, does not top his famous appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. You know what I'm talking about,
I do know.
Bill.
Yeah.
He shows up on set wearing a leather outfit, if
yes.
I'm remembering correctly.
Leather pants,
leather
for
pants.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he starts goofing around with Carson, a can of, was it shaving cream?
Yeah, shaving cream or whipped cream? I want to say shaving cream. That sounds right.
They started throwing shaving cream at each other and wound up with, I mean, they were doing it in a very Stan Laurel, very geniusly staged comedic way, slowly and staring at each other, where Burt Reynolds would pull open, like, or the waistband of Johnny Carson's pants and shoot shaving cream down through his pants. Or yep. Was it vice versa? Yep. Where
I remember where Burt had a lot in his pants Reynolds. There. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But maybe one of the funniest things ever seen on television, ever.
Mark, you got to come. Every Friday, Dean and I get together and we watch old episodes of Dan August. Why don't you come over and watch with us? Come on.
I'm in it's for fun. The future.
You got to be.
We show easily digestible food. We yes, serve.
That's a rule.
Easy to chew, easy to digest food.
All right, let's take a quick break. Dean Richards is here. He'll tell us what movies are coming out next. It's Bill and Mark in for Wendy on WGN. It's the Circle of Life. That's what it is. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill, and that's Mark Harmon filling in for Wendy. We're on the stream. Dean Richards is our guest.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata to you, sir. I say that to everybody now.
Thank you. I like walking up to people in Jewel.
No, in Jewel you say Hakuna Potato. It's close. Dean, before we talk about The Lion King, the new version of The Lion King, just really quickly, are you surprised at all the attention this 007 thing is getting, that they've chosen a new 007, not a new James Bond, but some people are a little upset about it?
I'm shocked that people are reacting, not exactly violently, but pretty close. I mean, it's a very, very negative and kind of hateful response. God forbid that the character should be introduced who is a woman.
Right.
God forbid that it's a woman of color who is going to be the, apparently the premise of the next James Bond movie is going to be that James Bond retires from the MI6, mm-hmm. and something happens where they try to bring him back, but his agent number after his retirement is assigned to somebody else. Agent 007 is mm-hmm. assigned to somebody else. And the actress who will be taking this over is a she's actually a London-born black woman, and she was the fighter pilot in Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. and she'll be apparently, I guess, transitioning and taking over, not as James Bond, but as 007.
A new 007.
Yeah, I think it's great.
But people say, but 007's always been a white guy. What's this?
Yeah.
But we adapt. We move on.
It's a new world.
Right. And it gives them a chance
to back.
Have, right. That people are going to chant that at the movie theater during the whole movie. It gives them a chance to have two different lanes now. You can bring back a new actor playing James Bond, but this can be a whole, like, a side route, somebody new.
I think it's a very smart idea. It gives them lots of different options for, you know, different things to do with this franchise in the future, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Me too. All right, let's talk about The Lion King. Finally, the live action version, but it's all CGI. It's live action, but it's CGI live action, yeah, right?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I haven't been calling it live action because there are no humans that have been filmed to be in this. This entire movie is computer generated. And this new process that they have, photorealistic computer animation is what it's called, is uncanny. It's even more uncanny and beautiful and realistic than The Jungle Book that came out a couple of years ago. That was the film that the director of Lion King, Jon Favreau, mm-hmm. Put together, in which he did incorporate. He had both humans and computer animated animals in the movie, but this new Lion King is just animals. The storyline pretty much follows the original from 1994. Mark, did you grow up with as a kid watching Lion King?
I'm a little, unfortunately, too old for being a kid watching it.
Oh.
Are these not real animals here, Dean?
No.
These are
computer generated.
All computer generated, and it's this is one of the major positives of this film. It's unbelievable.
Didn't Dinah Shore take you as a small boy to see Lion King, Mark? Am I imagining that?
My childhood of films of this remote genre was Star Wars,
oh,
E.T., right. That era.
That would have been a little bit before. Then you were, yeah. you came a little late, yeah, late right. to the game for yeah. that.
I remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs crying at that for some reason. That was emotional for
at
me.
Star Wars?
Not yeah. Star Wars.
Yep.
Star Wars.
We were all sad at one point.
Star Wars, I did cry when they were in the trash chute. That was terrifying.
That was very horrible. Sad.
Yes. Yeah.
But this, I like this new Lion King very much. It pretty much exactly follows the storyline of the original. The realism in this is uncanny. Now, some critics have been saying that it's so realistic that it lacks energy and emotion.
Oh.
That seeing an actual lion, to see, you know, some of these actual animals without the drawn animated expression in their face
yeah.
is a hollow. I could not disagree with that more. I think, if anything, this makes it even more realistic.
Yeah.
Guess what? A lion is not going to grin at you and wink when they're telling a joke. You know, those are things that only happen in, you know, animated yeah. movies. This one is more realistic, but I did not leave this movie in any way feeling like it was empty or shallow or hollow in any way. I had a ear-to-ear grin
oh, good.
Watching it. I thought it was very beautiful. A lot of the songs have been updated. Elton John not involved in this project at all. It's Beyonce and Donald Glover. James Earl Jones, 88-year-old James Earl Jones, is the returning voice.
The only returning voice.
The only returning voice as little Simba, the you know, newly born lion cub's father, Mufasa. Who do we have? Oscar nominee Chiwetel Ejiofor, who was in 12 Years a Slave. He's the evil Uncle Scar, who sort of forces Simba out into exile, where he meets all kinds of unusual characters along the way. But it's very, very lovely, and I enjoyed it. I gave it a Dean's List A-.
Oh, good.
There's one other, just real quick, one other film that is opening this week that I want to tell you about called The Farewell. And it's a story about a Chinese family who gathers from different parts of the world. They all go back to China when they learn that their beloved grandmother may have a very short time to live. So they all kind of go back. But they don't tell the grandmother that she's sick. They pretend as though they've gone back for a wedding as the excuse for everybody gathering. So it's this very interesting story about mortality. It's a very interesting story about, you know, if there was something wrong with you, would you want to know the truth about what your prognosis is? Would you lie to somebody who's going through somebody like that? It asks some moral questions, but it's thoughtful and funny. But here's the biggest thing that I took out of this film. Maybe it's because of everything that's going on in the news right now. In the times in which we live, in which being different, I mean, much of this film is spoken in Chinese with subtitles. Mm-hmm. Much of it's in English. But at this time where ethnic diversity is being used to separate us, this film shows us how much alike we are, even though we're not Chinese, how much we have in common with the same kinds of goals and interests and things that we care about, and family members that we care about. We're not that different at all. We're all very much the same. So I really like this movie. The Farewell is what it's called. Awkwafina, who starred in the movie Crazy Rich Asians,
yeah.
she sort of stole that movie
yeah.
a little bit. She is the main star of this film with a whole load of A-list Chinese actors. So I'm super recommending that also, Dean's List B+.
I think that's a very important point.
Great timing to bring that up,
right?
Yeah.
We all, for the most part, 99% of us want the same things in life. We want a house over our head, food mm-hmm. to eat,
mm-hmm.
loved ones around us, friends. I mean, it's amazing how
right.
It's yeah.
And this one is, you know, much like say My Big Fat Greek Wedding was about a Greek family,
yes,
but really was about everybody.
Sure,
there are so many movies that are about a certain ethnicity, a certain racial category that show us. We're not all. We may dress differently. We may speak differently. Our skin colors may be different. We're really not that different.
So true.
And this movie really underlines all of that. And it's it's very sensitively and very beautifully written and performed. I might be my favorite movie of the week.
It's an interesting question too. Like, let's say you're whatever. We'll take us three, and you had some disease that you're going to go in the next 3 months. Would you rather not know and live fully, or would you rather be in terror for till the final day? I mean, yeah. I think most people would probably say they'd like to know so they could say their goodbyes, but there's the other side of it too, where you just enjoy it as much as possible. I'll be interested to see how they, you know, parse that in the film, Dave.
This movie deals with that very question in a very, very poignant way of how we in Western cultures tend to focus our lives in a very individual basis, but in Chinese culture, you are part of your family unit. You are part of a greater group of a community, your family.
Yeah.
And how one deals with crises as they come along the way not only affects just the individual, as we might deal with here in the West, but in a Chinese culture, how it affects the group as a whole.
Great idea.
And it brings some very thoughtful and poignant points along the way, and made me starving for Chinese food.
Oh, of course. That's a given.
After I got out of this
movie. That's a given. Dean, thank you so much. We will see you at the Dan August viewing party tomorrow night. All right. It's going to be fun.
I'll bring the shaving
cream. All right. Can't wait. Thank you, Dean. We'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Mark.
Just a quick side note on that with the Chinese food.
Yes.
Sundays, I'm normally doing the post-game show for White Sox. Every other Sunday is at Guaranteed Rate Field. So when you're coming out of Guaranteed Rate and you're heading back into the city, you're going right through Chinatown.
Yes, you are.
So I have turned that into a tradition now. Moon Palace and I'm willing to try other places, that was the recommended spot. So I've been coming out of there on a Sunday, and I'm picking up the Kung Pao chicken.
Perfect.
I mean, it's really,
we can't beat that for fun.
I mean, that's a nice little add-on in my life right now, Bill.
I understand. A little break, some news, more of us, Bill and Mark, in for Wendy on WGN.